This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to William Hill's weekly golf podcast with Dave Kellner and Mike Grenham. With you to have a look ahead to the Nordea Masters on the European Tour and a cracker on the US PGA Tour. We head to Muirfield Village for the Memorial. But first, we had one of the best weeks of the golfing season last week in terms of quality golf. Rory McIlroy closing with that 32 at Wentworth, Mike, to win the BMW PGA Championship by a short. It really was spectacular for McIlroy.
It was, Dave. It was spectacular, wasn't it? And it was clear that the situation had been weighing on his mind, and he'd been struggling with it over recent weeks and months. But the freedom that he got from the fact that I didn't pick him last week meant that he was okay, could go on and win.
Precisely.
I don't think there was anything else going on in his life. So for the first time this year, I didn't pick him, and the boy done well. An amazing final round by Rory. But Dave,
yeah,
Shane Lowry, your pick, 125-1, who played so well throughout the tournament, finishing second, just a shot behind Rory. We love Rory McIlroy, but he didn't have to do it when you were on 125-1, man, in second place, did he?
You're not kidding. You are not kidding, Mr. Grenham. Yeah, the tee shot on 13 really cost him. It's knowing that he got to the winning number after 12 holes on the Sunday, got to 14 under, which would have been good for a playoff, with those two par fives to finish with, 17 and 18, both realistic birdie chances. Pulled tee shot on 13, cost Shane Lowry, but terrific performance from Lowry, and then went terrific and topped the charts at Walton Heath, so gets to play in the US Open as well. So superb from Shane Lowry. Fantastic week at Wentworth, then good day at Walton Heath as well.
Yeah, he's in the US Open, so and deservedly so on the form that he showed at Wentworth. He was outstanding, and in a normal year would have won, but McIlroy's weekend was spectacular, wasn't it?
I wonder if McIlroy would have won if the relief of impending marriage
There was that as well, wasn't there? Another thing off his mind.
Who knows, Mike, if he would have won had he not broken up with Caroline Wozniacki before the tournament.
It's impossible to know, Dave, isn't it? But he's been threatening to win all year, and released from shackles of romance and my picking of him, suddenly he was like a Mustang out on the plains.
He was indeed.
I fancied, as you know, Rory all year to win a couple of majors, and the US Open was the one I always had in mind for him, so we'll have to see, although I did think he'd win the Masters as well, I have to say. But let's see whether it's an Indian summer or whether he's absolutely back to his best now. And you've got to say, Dave, he's never been particularly great at Wentworth, so to win there, I didn't really fancy him last week. So, it's boiling up nicely, isn't it?
It is indeed, because Adam Scott won on the PGA Tour, going head-to-head with Jason Duffner in the playoff for the Crowne Plaza Invitational.
That was he's number one player in the world.
He is.
Not Rory, McIlroy.
It was an incredible playoff with Duffner. Those two going shot for shot, and Adam Scott held a brilliant put on the penultimate playoff hole and went on to hole a six-footer on the 18th to win. Incredible performance from Adam Scott.
It was an incredible performance for him, Dave, when you think that he was four over after about nine holes of the first round.
Yep.
And I remember scoring down the leaderboard and saying, oh, well, he's out of it. Yeah. And got that one wrong, because his play over the last, what would it be, roughly 63 holes was just outstanding. When you look at it, it would have been four or five clear, obviously. Adam Scott living up to his billing as the official ranked number one player in the world. But I do think that McIlroy might have something to say about that in the weeks and months ahead. So, good play by Jason Duffner again, bouncing back to form. Just needs to put a little bit better, doesn't he?
He looks like he's got the yips from 2 feet and in.
Yeah.
He missed a putt it was the shortest putt I've ever seen missed, I think.
Yeah, he's never been a great putter though, Dave, has he? No, that's his Achilles heel, no question, Mr. Duffner, but tee to green, what a good player he is. So, yeah, it's fascinating stuff, isn't it? It's a great event last week and another couple of interesting ones this week.
It would be remiss to move on to these two tournaments without a mention for Colin Montgomery as well.
Won his first senior major. Played brilliantly. I watched a lot of that, to be fair. And he saw off the young fella, Tom Watson, in good heart. You know, he really played well, Monty. And now he's got that win. He has won, I think, an event in America. I think it's an Accenture event, which I think might be match play, or certainly not 72-hole. His first 72-hole win in America can kick on from that, because he's, particularly in the senior majors where you've got to be a bit more accurate, it's not quite the birdie fest that a lot of the normal events are. I think he'll contend in a lot of the senior majors. His game looked in real good shape to me, and he'll have focus back now that he's got a win, so watch him.
Let's move on then. Let's have a look at this week's two events, the Nordea Masters and the Memorial. We'll start off with the Nordea Masters. And Mike, we haven't got that much to go on here in terms of course form. A lot of these players will be seeing PGA Sweden National, the host course for the event, for the first time. But the venue did host...
They're not practice then?
Ah, well, for the second time, the venue did host a Challenge Tour event in 2011, the Princess, which Ricardo Santos won. And Henrik Stenson has been granted honorary lifetime membership at this venue as well at the start of the year. So you've got to think he'll know about the Lakes course. Mm. And the world number two, Henrik Stenson, is favourite this week, 11-2. Francesco Molinari, 12-1. Jonas Blixt is 16s, Thomas Bjorn 18-1, and Miguel Angel Jimenez is 25s, Shane Lowry 28s, 125s last week, and Stephen Gallagher 28-1, and it's 33s and bigger the remainder. It's difficult to know exactly what type of player will be suited to this test with only that one real leaderboard to go on, but I think players will be able to get away with it here, especially from the tee. It's an exposed golf course, wide fairways. I think scoring is going to be exceptionally low this week. I think this golf course's only real defence, Mike, would be if the wind blew over the 4 days.
Yeah, we're guessing a little bit, Dave, aren't we? I've got three picks, but they're not huge stakes. I'm just throwing a few darts. It is difficult to know. It's there is an element of links in there, isn't there, I think?
Yes.
So that's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it evolves. And they say it's a good course. But as you say, was it 13 or 14 or even 15 under one when Santos won that Challenger Tour event?
So I think it could have even been 16.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, if I kept going, I'd have got there. you'd expect better players to do even better as long as the wind doesn't blow too much. So, yeah, be good to see. Should get good crowds, I always think, which always makes for an interesting event. So I have got three picks, so I'm having a little bit of a dabble.
I am as well. I'm
you go first then, seeing as though you're...
I've only got two picks though.
Oh, I'll go first.
Right, you lead off, but I'm confident with the headline selection.
Oh, you're confident.
Confident.
All right. Okay, my first pick, and because there is not a massive amount of course form or even a massive amount of knowledge of the course to go on, I won't overdo the analysis, but just to say that my first pick is Raphael Jacquelin, who I think is a quality player for 80-1 in this field. Does play links type golf very well. I know this isn't a pure links course, but you know Jacquelin has good finishes in the Open Championship and similar type events, and got his win in Spain last year on a course where there was a little bit of wind, I think, around that weekend, wasn't there? So In solid form at the moment, three top 25s in his last four outings on the European Tour, and that includes an eighth in the Championship at Laguna National, top 15 at Wentworth last weekend, which is solid rather than anything to get too excited about. But Raphael Jacquelin, a proven winner on tour, 80-1 just strikes me as a good price. Point win, half a point place.
Yes, indeed. 80-1 for Raphael Jacquelin. My headline selection, 1.5 points each way. Chris Wood at 33-1 is my player here. He's enjoying a real purple patch at the moment. I think he's a good bet. Finished fifth in the championship at Laguna National. And you've just mentioned that event, Mike. That was a low-scoring event, so that augurs well if scoring is low this week. And he backed that up with a tied seventh at the Open de España, and then last week he finished tied 21st at Wentworth, but that doesn't really tell the the full story. His striking from tee to green was exceptional. Look at the stats there. He ranked second in driving accuracy, third in greens in regulation last week at Wentworth. If he'd have got things going with the putter, which is often Chris Wood's problem, in all honesty, he would have been a lot closer to the lead. Hopefully, he finds something with the putter this week, and if he does, I think he'll contend. So 33-1, Chris Wood. I'll go 1.5 points each way. I'm pretty confident. Hopefully, what you're saying about it being a links-style golf course, or at least having a links feel, would suit Chris Wood.
Some of the holes certainly have, from what we're told, anyway. So, yeah, I get that. My second pick is Pablo Larrazabal, available at 40-1 this week. Just playing really well at the moment. Won in Abu Dhabi earlier this year. Finished 7th at the weekend at Wentworth, which is a very good finish. And previous to that, in his previous outings, had an 8th in Malaysia, a couple of events before that. As I say, won in Abu Dhabi earlier this year. Putting well, top 20 or thereabouts, and putting for greens in regulation this year on tour. Just think he's a very good player these days. And he's in very good form, and 40-1 to me seems a very decent price for Pablo Larrazabal. I'm more than happy to give him a go at that. 1 point win, half a point, please.
I think Larrazabal had an opportunity at Wentworth. He got so annoyed on one of the holes. I don't know if you saw it. He got distracted from the right-hand side of the fairway. Someone had taken a picture or something.
Yeah.
And it completely threw him. He was banging contention with McIlroy.
We know that he's volatile, don't we? And that's not the first time that's happened. So it is something to watch with him. He does occasionally get irate. But he knows how to win, this guy, and he's certainly elevated his game this year. So, you know, there are players around him in the market that aren't as good as him, in my opinion, and aren't as playing as well as him either. So he must have a really good chance this week, I think.
I think he'll love it if the wind blows as well. He's one of those players that if the wind blows, he'll play really well because he can flight his ball, can't he?
Yeah, he can. He's just a good player, David. Yep. In an event where we have scant course form to go on, I just think you want to go with a bit of a form player and a player who's on the upgrade, and he's definitely one of those.
My final selection here, I'm going with Fabrizio Zanotti as my second and final selection at 100-1. I thought he was just a touch undervalued in the market and overpriced subsequently. I can understand if people aren't interested in getting involved with a maiden because he's a long-standing maiden. He has won on the Challenge Tour before, Fabrizio Zanotti. But his form this year, very much improved. Decent finishes in the desert, in Qatar and Dubai, and they've been followed more recently with a tied third in Portugal and a tied 16th last week at Wentworth. Tough to pinpoint Zanotti's best attribute, really, because he does everything well. But he putted fantastically last week, hoping he can remain hot. He's in form. I thought Fabrizio Zanotti was worth a go here at 100-1, just playing half a point each way on Zanotti.
Yeah, well, I'm going for a similar type bet, Dave, someone who is a maiden on tour. And you'll have to pronounce his surname for me, but Lucas Bjerregaard.
Yeah.
Played, I think you like, don't you?
Yeah,
have
I do like him a lot, Dan. Yeah, he's really long off the tee.
He is.
And if it is a bomber's paradise, which, having read what I've read about the golf course and seen images, it suggests it is a really... you can really get away with it off the tee here.
If you can whack it off the tee and a good long way, you're in with a chance, hopefully, here. I don't think it's just a bomber's course. I've looked at the people who finished at the top of the leaderboard in that Challenger event 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But certainly, I don't think it harms it. And it looks like driving accuracy won't be the key component. So he hits it a long way. Very moderate form so far this year, Bjerregaard. With top 40s, two missed cuts prior to that, two top 40s in the Championship at Laguna that we mentioned already a couple of times, and then the NH Collection Open. But what really catches my eye, Dave, is Danish, so Scandinavian event will suit him.
Yeah.
And B, he birdied the first hole in Open qualifying, US Open qualifying on Monday at Wantland Heath to get into the US Open. There was a playoff, six-man playoff. He got in as one of the four players from the playoff. Talented individual, 150-1. It's a little bit of a dart, but I'm willing to give him a go. 150s for half a point each way.
Lucas Bjerregaard, the Dane, Mike's pick, half a point each way. Bjerregaard, yeah, I think the J is silent.
All right,
150-1 in the betting. How do you think the top of the market shapes up here. Henrik Stenson, 11-2.
Well, if he's got, and I don't know whether he's played the course before, Dave, I didn't know that news that you said earlier, that he's an honorary member here or whatever. So he should, yeah, obviously he'll go very well. He's shaping up nicely, Henrik, for a run at some of the majors this summer, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah.
Maybe not quite at the top of his game quite yet. Jonas Blix continues to impress. Superb talent he is, and but I can leave him at 16.
His scrambling's incredible.
He's just a good player, Dave, isn't he? I just, well, we've mentioned him numerous times, haven't we? And although he dropped off a little bit, didn't he, at the weekend?
He did. He scrambled so I couldn't believe he was still in contention the way he hit the ball over the first 2 days. I was surprised to see him up there.
He's not the most accurate.
He hauled everything. Yeah. And he's not the most accurate. No. He was very rash with the driver a few times. Mm. And I thought, if he manages to stay in contention, his short game must be different world.
Yeah, he's very good scrambler, very good putter, someone to have on your mind, certainly, although at 16, probably a little bit short. Yeah, it's an interesting event. Alvaro Quiros was on my mind. I've followed him quite a bit lately, but at 40s, I thought I could probably leave and give him his last two events.
Mark had said our compiler's ducked him slightly, hasn't he, there?
He has, 40s. Yeah, 40s. If he was bigger, I might have been interested in him. Yeah, he hits it a long, long way, like Beauregard. So he should go well. I thought, just to mention another couple, Matteo Manassero, the market price again, Mark, I think's ducked this fella. Matteo's only 40s with us. I think there's bigger prices elsewhere, but if this is an accuracy event, you know, and he plays links play as well.
He was dismal in defence, wasn't he, last week?
Yeah, he was.
In the first round, anyway. He bounced back in the second round.
He did, but a talented player nonetheless. There's a couple of other players that played well, but in recent weeks, Thomas Peters was very good in Spain, drifted right out to about 100, 125 to 100 to 1, actually. Maybe Maximilian Kiefer, he's qualified for the US Open as well. He's another one to have on your mind, maybe, as outsiders.
Mark had said, says about this tournament, not sure what type of player will be suited here, although the Challenger events produce low scores and it's got lots of water and sand. So I'm picking someone who is near the top of the scrambling stats and sand saves. Mikko Korhonen is one of his picks. Big price, done okay recently, and it's not a strong event. Plus, he's Scandinavian. Of the names at the top of the leaderboard, or the top of the odds chart here, Jonas Blix should be suited to this type of course. So there are his thoughts ahead of the Nordea.
I don't think it's entirely accurate to say it's not a strong event. It's not a bad event either, is it? It's not the deepest field on tour, but it's certainly not the weakest either.
No, precisely. There's a lot weaker events than this.
You're going quite a long way
in terms of personnel.
Down the betting before you get to people who are, you know, not that well known. So I think there's some talent in that event.
Just one name I want to mention who would have been third on my list, Rafa Cabrera Bello at 40-1. He was banging contention at Wentworth. Wentworth, I don't believe, is a course that's ever going to play to his strengths, because you've got to scramble well at Wentworth, and Cabrera Bello's short game leaves a little bit to be desired. He's good out of the bunkers. His chipping was pretty dismal at times. He's almost the opposite to your traditional stereotypical Spaniard.
Yeah.
In that his swing's really mechanical, quality swing, but really mechanical.
Yep.
And he's not got as good a short game as you would expect.
He's not a field player, is he? In the same regard as the Garcias and people like that. Is he? No, it's a fair point that. It'd be interesting to see how he bounces back.
Let's have a look at the Memorial then, this week's PGA Tour event. This is a brilliant event, and Muirfield Village is as close to perfect from a golfing point of view as it gets in terms of a golf course, quality course. Jack Nicklaus founded the event 38 years ago, and it's played on his design, and this is an invitational event. And Matt Kuchar was very good in this event last year, ranked number one in greens in regulation, second in strokes gained putting. And Mike, that will get it done pretty much every week on tour if you're ranking high up in those two stats in the same week. I always think that this golf course, hitting greens in regulation is crucial around here. And when analysing Jack Nicklaus' design golf courses, we say it on numerous occasions on the podcast, the test isn't so much from tee to fairway, it's fairway to green. And the leaderboards here over the past 5 years are littered with players that have hit a lot of greens or have incredible short games. I think you need one or the other, because scrambling is exceptionally difficult at this venue.
Yes, scrambling is almost the key stat for me here. I'd go along with that, Dave. And I think you're absolutely right to say that you know, the challenge. I think this is on the PGAtour.com. Rob Bolton does power rankings on there, and which are very well worth reading. And he says the challenge increases nearer the hole on Jack Nicklaus courses.
Definitely.
Which is a perfect way of putting it. The nearer you get to the hole, the more difficult it gets. So I'm with you on that. They're the kind of guys that I'm looking for. Good scramblers, but guys who will hit the green, players with a bit of experience. Two of my three are anyway. So, it's a fascinating event, the Memorial, and again, a really good field for this. So this is certainly the feature event of the weekend, to be fair to Mark. I'd say this is definitely better than Nordea Masters. Got some cracking players in this, haven't we? It's probably the two best players in the world on current form, and a whole host of other A-listers.
Yeah, definitely. Rory McIlroy, 7-1 favourite for the event. Adam Scott is 10-1. Matt Kuchar is 14s. Justin Rose in the betting at 16-1. Bubba Watson, Dustin Johnson, Jim Furyk, Jordan Spieth, Luke Donald and Phil Mickelson, all 25s, and it's 33s and bigger the remainder. Only a couple of picks for me, Mike, and the names you will have heard on the podcast in the last few weeks. So I've just got a couple of names on my list.
I'll start because I've got three.
Yep.
Three picks, David. I've gone for a young man called Phil Mickelson. Have you heard of him?
I've heard of him before.
Yeah. He's an American guy. he's got good form here at Memorial. In the last three events here, he's got a 5th and a 13th to his name. Hasn't had probably the best of seasons by his very, very, very high standards. Missed the cut at TPC last time out, which is not his. I know he's won there rather bizarrely, but which I never think Sawgrass is his course. Prior to that, he's kind of going good finish, miscut or withdrawn. He's got a lot of that. It's a bit of a spotty record this season. And actually, I don't think he's recorded a top 10 yet, which by his standards is pretty amazing. But I think his time's due. He's 11th at Wells Fargo, 12th at Houston. Will be wanting to get his season on the upward grade for crack at the US Open, which he desperately wants to win. Yeah, and I'm convinced he'll have been hitting the practice grounds hard over the last couple of weeks while he's been out, 2 or 3 weeks since Sawgrass. This course is one that, if he's on form, it really suits him. And the price, Dave, at 25s is very decent for a player of Phil Mickelson's ability. A brilliant scrambler and a top player, and I think it's time he got it done here.
25-1, Phil Mickelson. What's the staking plan?
Point each way.
I'm going a point each way. I'm going to stick with Jordan Spieth this week at 25-1 again. He is a significantly bigger price than last week. This is a significantly stronger field, though, as well. I think he could be the guy to get upside McIlroy and Scott in future years, without a doubt. And he's played well in Texas without getting the most out of his game. Still finished 14th last week, despite putting poorly. I think he was 54th in strokes gained putting, which is unusual for Spieth in an event. Knows this course as well and enjoys playing on these quicker greens. He's mentioned that pre-tournament, how greens at Augusta and at TPC Sawgrass suit him because they're quicker than standard PGA Tour greens. These greens are lightning quick. And his 2013 President's Cup record here was decent. So he's seen this course a couple of times, although Steve Stricker did help him out on that occasion. He was exceptional in the event. He's competed in the big events throughout the season. This could be another stepping stone for Jordan Spieth. I think he's going to go very well, maintains his form. 25-1, a point each way on Spieth.
Yeah, I like that one, Dave. I thought you might pick him. Yeah, he's just drifted again in the market, hasn't he? On the basis of 1 week, whereas, yeah, I think this guy, as we say, is a bit of an enigma because it's hard to know where he excels. He's just very good at scoring, and that's a really good thing to do. So he must have a big chance. I've gone for a guy who hasn't played here that much as my outsider, but my only question mark against Spieth, maybe experience round here.
Yeah, you could say that, but having looked through past leaderboards, there's a few players that I'll come to my second pick shortly who have played well here on debut.
Okay.
I think you can succeed here on debut.
All right, okay, fair call. I've gone for another player who's got good form here in the shape of Luke Donald, who was third at Wentworth at the weekend. Donald's last five outings here have produced a 6th, a 14th, a 7th, a 12th and a 21st, which is rock solid form here at Memorial. Been in good form. Two of his last three outings on the golf course have produced that third at the weekend and a second a few weeks back. So in very, very, very good form, Donald, this year. Just starting to come nicely to the boil. He's a superb scrambler, is Donald, as is Mickelson. They're the criteria.
Yes.
Quality players who like the course, who scramble well. There's not a lot more I can say other than that. He just, I think he's due to contend and hopefully win this event. I think Donald at 25s makes quite a bit of appeal to me. So
just that one disaster for Donald last week. He'll feel that's an opportunity missed, won't he, at Wentworth?
Yes.
That 1-7 on Sunday.
Yeah, he will do, but he wasn't the only one who did that, was he?
There was
quite a lot of that going on, wasn't there? But he'll be buoyed by the fact that he played well once again on a course that he likes. Let's hope he can play even better on another course that he likes this weekend. At 25s, I think he's got a rock-solid chance.
25-1, Luke Donald. We've got a few names in contention for the free lunch this week, without a doubt.
Yeah.
My second selection, I'm going with Gary Woodland again, a guy that I picked 2 weeks ago, and maybe I was a little bit reactionary. I was disappointed with that seventh place finish at the HP Byron Nelson. I was so annoyed that he didn't get at least a place because he was bang there in the final round. I still think that his course management could have been a little bit better on that occasion. I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast last week, but some of his shot selections, short-siding himself on holes where you need to either play to the fat of the green, don't miss it on the short side. He did it on a couple of occasions, couldn't get up and down, but he extended his cuts made streak to 13 that week, which is damn impressive on the PGA Tour to make 13 straight cuts. I like the 33-1. He ranks 12th in total driving, 30th in greens in regulation. Every department of his game's good, and he's scrambled so much better this season. He's up nearly 100 spots from how he was scrambling in the two seasons prior to this one. He was a poor chipper, Gary Woodland. He's got much better in that department this season. 6th on debut here in 2011, 16th here last year. If he plays well from tee to green, he's going to be banging contention again, Gary Woodland. No sign of a dip in his form. 33-1, a point each way, Woodland.
I was the one who was meant to be obsessed with Woodland, not you.
Yeah, no, I've stolen him from you.
You'll be picking Bill Hart. Woodland is a great talent, and I'm not sure this is his ideal course. So, Dave, if I'm being honest, although that scrambling stat is interesting, you're right, he's been scrambling better this year. But I bet he plays well, so he'll give you a good run for your money, I'm sure.
Hopefully,
I've picked a player that isn't as big a hitter as Woodland, but has a couple of outings here, one good, one bad. John Hurt is my final pick. He is available at 100-1 and has been decent form of late. Did miss the cut last weekend at Colonial, but not by a lot. Shot 71, 73 to dip out of the event. Prior to that, had played well in the Byron Nelson, where he was top 20, averagely at the TPC, but well at Heritage, where he was third, with some really good play. And I just think he's a very solid player who's in good form. 100-1 appeals to me, and I'm hoping that he can keep his short game together. He'll hit the greens, hopefully scramble well. He's not at Donald or Mickelson's level of scrambling, I have to be honest, but treble figure odds just caught my eye for a player who's just shown real good signs that he's going to build on. He had that rookie year where he did great, not so great last year, but he's coming back, I think, this year, and he likes playing in Texas as well.
John Hur, your pick, Mike. I had a number of players that just missed the cut, a number that I liked at big prices. I think KJ Choi is going to play well this week.
He was on my list, yeah.
Yeah, 66 is maybe a little bit short for KJ Choi.
Yeah, they're a bit higher than it being tempting, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Definitely. I've got Bill Hasmart down.
Have you indeed?
He likes these real strong tests, doesn't he, Bill Has?
Yeah.
I think he'll go well. David Hearn at 100-1, Matt Jones at 66-1, and another debutant I think could play well this week, Russell Knox.
I had him on my list, yeah.
At 100 to 1.
Yeah, he was on my outsiders list.
He's a really good ball striker, isn't he, Knox?
Yeah, really good. Just that lack of experience here. But him, Rory Sabatini, I'd be annoyed if he won this week, as I picked him a few times here in recent weeks. Stuart Sink could play well this week. He's showing a bit of signs, but I just can't see him winning. Of the market leaders, Dave, Justin Rose should go well, shouldn't he?
Yes, definitely.
The market leaders are strong, to be fair. Dustin Johnson was on my mind.
Yeah, it's just if he has an off week.
If he has an off week, he won't win.
Sorry, I meant to say if he's not fully on his game, I don't think he scrambles well enough.
No, but his scrambling this year has been okay, hasn't it? So I hear what you're saying. That is something that he needs to do well this week if he's going to contend. But he's a quality player, Johnson, and he's in decent form. He's got a 7th and a 14th on his last two outings, so he's certainly not playing bad at all. And a couple of decent finishes at Memorial. He was on my mind. You know, he should go well. Jim Furyk should go well, but remains underpriced. I suppose Steve Stricker was also, but he was cut yesterday. If he was 50-1, he got cut yesterday.
I
might well have picked him. That extra 10 points might have tempted me in. Rory McIlroy, well, he could win again, couldn't he?
He could win again, Rory McIlroy.
Who would you pick of the market leaders if you're picking one?
Probably Rose.
Hmm.
But I think 16s is only fair, really.
Just about right, isn't it, in this field? So not a lot of juice on that one, is there? Of the two, I'd probably go for Johnson over him at the prices.
Yeah, and just one quick mention for a guy that you backed on Sunday last week, Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah.
He's 50-1 in the betting, which maybe is a little bit too short, but he's playing really solidly at the moment, and he's...
I don't know what happened here. I thought that was an interesting little bet at 25-1 in the final round. He hit the fairway on, I think it's about the 6th or 7th hole, and then hit the ball 40... I don't know, I didn't see what happened. Hit the ball 45 yards from the middle of the fairway, and then took another three or four shots so he just crashed out of contention.
He did lead a number of stats last week, though, didn't he? I think he led the driving accuracy stats and was high up in the greens and reg stats as well. So
very, very good player. I'm going to forgive him that aberration. He came back quite well and got a couple of late birdies but not enough to figure. But yeah, that was a bit of a strange one. But Ryan Palmer got a fraction of a place for me in that event, actually. So he's a guy who's in very good form.
Very good form. As far as Mark Adsett is concerned, Bo Van Pelt has shown some form in the last few weeks. Plus, he's had a few good finishes here in the past. He should have won this event, Bo Van Pelt, before. And Gary Woodland also appeared on the radar with his form and finishes. I think he's well on the radar at the moment, Gary Woodland, isn't he? I don't think he's flying under the radar.
No, he's on the radar. He's definitely on the radar.
He's there. It's beeping, isn't it? There's just a big Gary Woodland shaped hole on the radar at the moment. He's in the betting at 33-1. Free lunch bet then.
Well, you won last week's, didn't you?
Yeah,
Daniel
I did.
Summerhays versus Rory Sabatini.
Yeah.
So
I'll pitch Jordan Spieth in there, and you can have Donald or Mickelson. Is that fair?
I'll go Donald.
Okay. Spieth versus Donald for the free lunch. And who's the player you don't want to win? This is a feature that I've skipped the past 2 weeks, mainly because I've forgotten about it.
Yes,
but who's
yes.
the player you don't
Very
want
honest
to win?
Of you. In the Memorial, Dustin Johnson or Rory Sabatini probably would be on my mind. And in the European event, I wouldn't be massively happy if Quiros won, having followed him over the trenches a couple of times lately.
I'd definitely be Rafa Cabrera Bayo in the Nordea Masters, and in the Memorial, it's tough in the Memorial. There were a few I didn't want to win. Maybe Russell Knox at 100-1. He was probably closest on the list. Let's just recap the picks then, Mike. Starting off with the Nordea Masters.
The Nordea Masters, Dave, I've gone a point win and a half a point place. Rafael Jacquelin at 80s and Pablo Larrazabal at 40s, and half a point each way, 150 on Lucas Beauregard. And in the Memorial, a point each way on all of these, Phil Mickelson and Luke Donald at 25s and John at 100s.
Nordea Masters, 1.5 points each way, Chris Wood at 33-1 for me, along with Fabrizio Zanotti, just 0.5 point each way at 100-1. And the guys I pick every week in the Memorial at the moment, Jordan Spieth, 0.5 point each way at 25-1, and Gary Woodland, 0.5 point each way at 33-1. And that
makes for a consistent listen, Dave, doesn't it?
It does, precisely. It does. I might just start clipping out previous weeks and letting you do the podcast on your own. Just insert my bits afterwards.
I'm disappointed. I've got to go out now and buy the sandwiches, haven't I?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast, folks. You can follow us on Twitter at D Kellner and at M Grenham. Also, check out Golf Twitter Tipster at Golf Twit Tipster.
You'd have flown up that, Dave, wouldn't you, with that 125-1
shot? Oh, eh? I'd have bought the sandwiches.
You'd have bought.
That's how much
you?
I wanted that. Probably not.
No, that was unlucky. Great call.
And thank you for listening to this week's golf podcast. And myself and Mike will be back next week. Enjoy the golf this week, folks, and we'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.